Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us live worldwide on CUTV News Radio, a service of the award-winning CUTV News. It is 2 p.m. Eastern at the time of our broadcast, 11 a.m. Pacific, and we do broadcast live on all of our broadcast series. We also, at the same time, archive the shows. So if you like what you hear today, and perhaps you'd like to have an opportunity to hear it again or share it with colleagues, associates, family, friends, you can have that opportunity because all of these are archived on our clients' websites, our guest websites, as well as our websites, and also on iTunes and on Stitcher. So we've got multi-platforms for which you can enjoy all the great episodes of our broadcast series every single day here on CUTV News Radio. Thanks again for joining us, making us a part of your day. We are excited to welcome back a special friend of CUTV News Radio, somebody who actually I had an opportunity recently to not only interview on air on radio, but also on television with our video interview series. And she came to our studio, and we had an opportunity to really sit down and dig in deep into the work that she does and also the incredible book that she's authored, Peace of Soul Through the Heart of Soul's Journey, a really amazing book. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it yet, but I would suggest that you get involved with it because it really is. I've read it and I've shared it, and it really is an amazing, amazing book. It's one of those kinds of books that you won't put down. Yeah, you'll keep referring to it again and again. You know, there is a reason and a season for every relationship we have in our life, but sometimes a connection with another person is so profound it can transcend our understanding. Loretta Harrington is the author of Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, which recounts the story of her incredible experience meeting someone she knew in a previous lifetime and that profound friendship that blossomed between them. The moment of meeting Zura, who is the individual that we're talking about, was a complete revelation for Loretta. She says she knows people have come and gone out of her life for, you know, a certain reason. We all have that. But there was so much magnetism on a spiritual level that she couldn't reconcile it. It was that strong, that powerful. A soul connection is when one soul or one spirit recognizes another soul from the past. Now, each soul has a role to play in a given lifetime and provides a foundation for lessons learned and soul growth. So according to Loretta, meeting and understanding Zura is really a part of her soul path. She discovered she and Zura have a soul connection that goes back centuries. And she says it rocks your world when you really understand it, appreciate it, and recognize it. She says when she met Zura, there was an immediate recognition that there was a connection to him, but she couldn't place it. It was like one of those deja vu moments that we all tend to have. He knew there was a connection too, but he didn't understand what was happening. The book, which I said is riveting, really, Loretta's writing this book really helped giving her, bottom line, a deeper understanding of soul connections, which is what it's all about, soul connections being the highest potential of a loving relationship. So we're going to talk about all this. It really is cool stuff. It really is amazing. And it might also help you recognize a similar situation in your life that maybe you've been shunning or pushing aside, all of the above, and now you'll take a second look at it. Loretta wrote this book as a source of inspiration, sharing her story as well. Let's welcome back a very special guest to our broadcast, Loretta Harrington. Loretta, thank you so very much for joining us here on the show today. It's wonderful to have you back with us here on CUTV News Radio, and good to hear your voice. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for the invitation, Jim. I really appreciate talking to you again.
I know it was so great having an opportunity to meet a couple of weeks ago in the studio and interview you and learn even more about this experience with Zura. And, of course, you have worked for a number of years for the World Institute of Disability. You've worked within government. You've done a lot of incredible things within your career and still do to this day. But this book, authoring this book, was monumental for you, wasn't it? This was something that just had to be done. It was pulling at your heartstrings, and you put your mind to it and spelled it all out for everybody, right?
Oh, that's exactly why I wrote the book, because I wanted to capture my thoughts and feelings and let others know how life can change in a day when new circumstances come about. And my intent, and I believe I succeeded, is to share my feelings about my dad's passing. That's the setting of the story, and how the good work of Zura, who was a stranger, came into our lives, renewed my faith in humanity. And that book helped me to heal my soul from the pain and doubt that I had going through this experience. And I wanted to share it with others so that they find this as a, it helps them to cope in similar circumstances. And then, more importantly, Jim, it allows me to give back to those in need.
Which is really the bottom line to it all. And, you know, in writing this book, for our audience maybe who haven't heard the previous interviews with you, what was that process like in the very beginning, just even being able to take a blank piece of paper and start really spelling it out and sharing it? And during that process, was there any hesitation about sharing any moments and memories that you've shared with us in the book?
The process, Jim, started suddenly. I had a lot of thoughts in my mind. I started to jot down phrases, words, incidences, events. And then, literally, one morning I woke up, opened up my laptop, and I said, I'm going to commit this to writing. And so I began to just write an outline, filled it in throughout the remaining, well, the months that I developed the whole story. And I came to the part that caused me the most difficulty and hesitation, as you said. And that was the part is, how deep do I go into the description of the relationship that I was developing with Zura? Zura's Selikwadze is the character's name. He's from the former Soviet Union country of Georgia. And so I had to be careful about this, because I wanted my family to read the book, and I wanted them to understand that Zura is very special to me. So I delicately wrote about how this relationship began and what I saw in the relationship, considering that Zura is quite a bit younger than I am and a complete stranger to us at the time when we met. So I worked through that with the assistance of my transition coach and metaphysician, Alice DeVille, who I've worked with for a number of years to understand my soul path and my life's purpose. So I decided I was going to do it. I was just going to put it out there. And I said, well, if my family and friends and others think it's offbeat, well, so be it. But I wanted it out there. And when I gave the manuscript to my husband, Rick, who read it before it went to print, he closed the book and he said, this is a good story. This is a very good story. And that was the imprimatur. I knew I had done a good job of being sensitive to everyone's feelings, and most of all, being sensitive to Zura's feelings. Keep in mind, as an immigrant, he came to this country looking for a new beginning. and he was going through the immigration process at the time, and lots of highs and lows, depressing days and exciting days. So he was concerned as well. So we took this slowly, Jim. We worked through that section and just decided that we both wanted to tell the story.
That's very important. And the fact that you both wanted to tell the story is a crucial component to all of this. The soul connection, as we have referenced previously, how do you describe a soul connection? And is that different than a soul mate, or are they one and the same?
People commonly use soul connection as in the same sentence as soulmate, but a soul connection is someone quite that comes into your life for a reason. It may not be a soulmate for the rest of your life, as an example. Some soulmates do connect for a lifetime, others don't. But it's not a predestined encounter, but it's important to the evolution of our souls. So souls come in and out of our life to educate us, to show us the right way, and there are some soul connections that honestly are toxic and present a lot of difficulties for us. They're dysfunctional, and it's up to us to recognize those connections and to disassociate ourselves from those that don't bring us a great deal of satisfaction or love or passion or energy. So the soul connection is very much of a recognition of someone that we've known before. And the soul connection was kind of new to me, but because I had done the soul path analysis for many years, I was tuned in, intuitive, to look for those individuals that could further advance my soul and my knowledge and bring more love and joy into my life. So that's how I describe a soul connection, and it just so happens, thanks to the good work and analysis of my friend Alice, that she discovered that we had more than soul connections. We were soul mates in past lives, and we are a soulmate in this life. And so she was able to navigate me through the distinctions of past lives, and both of us today are convinced that we are connected, deeply connected, and that we are, in fact, soulmates. I recognized his soul quicker than he recognized my soul, and when that happens, it's a process that requires a great deal of patience and education, Jim. And so that was my role. I was the teacher, and he was the student. And I said, we're here because it's God's will that we are here to learn from each other. And if we stay in this relationship, in this way, we can pursue that, or we can go our own ways, and we'll just have to accept that. So we are here to get today at the same point in time, building and deepening our friendship.
Pretty beautiful when that happens. I mean, it must be a surreal experience during that moment of recognition when it sort of clicks and you both realize that neither one of you is elaborating or exaggerating or creating something out of thin air, that it's real and it's solid and it's deep. That has to be a surreal experience when that happens, and sometimes even hard to put into words because the emotion just washes over each of you like, gee, this is unbelievable and so beautiful and so incredible, right?
Surreal is a way to describe it. It really very much was like that. It's balanced itself off as the deeper relationship does. But in the beginning, it was very surreal. There was a great deal of emotion, excitement. It's like two friends reuniting. We can't talk fast enough. We can't say things quickly enough. And we can't we find ourselves wanting to learn more with each conversation. And that's the way it was for a very, very long time. Now, it's not without its downside, because I wanted to show Zora more things, open up more opportunities for him. But until he was ready and prepared to accept it, he was very hesitant. He knew there was something there, and when I would guide him or suggest something to him, he wouldn't see it in the same way, and that's okay. Eventually he did, and sometimes he just said, nope, that's not the way I'm going to do it. And there's a bit of frustration with that, because my life experiences, I'm an older soul than Zora is, so the lessons that I've learned have an imprint on my soul, and so I intuitively know that he's taking a wrong direction, and he did. And so he backed off. He realized that that happened, and we talked about it. It's a relationship where there's unconditional love. You accept the person and their faults and their fine points and their good points. So it's something that is built on trust. And it takes a fair amount of risk, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't doubt that at all. So what do you think is the reason for these soul connections, Loretta? Is it just by happenstance? Do you think there's something that's deeper? Is there a message to all of it? I mean, you were already on your way to exploring your soul's past, and you were already married, so what could possibly be the reason for any of it? Is there a deeper message to all of this? Or what do you summarize for all of this incredibleness that's been happening?
I believe that souls come into a life to teach, to guide, to offer you an opportunity to reach a higher level of love. And I'm talking about universal love. And to have a sense of humanity and restore faith in humanity, to look at, well, actually, I would say to celebrate the value of ordinary life. And if that one person is open to listening to someone or befriending a soul connection, then I think that's really very much a part of what we're here to do. We're not here alone. There are many, many people who want to bring us along. These souls are well developed. I mean, they're century old souls. They've lived many lives and they've learned. And there's no perfection in this world, but there certainly is an opportunity for us to kind of walk away from those things that bring us down, that depress us, that create a toxic environment. And it's okay to walk away from that. In fact, we need to do more of that. I used to think that it was my fault, but I don't anymore, because these individuals are not meant to bring me along or to advance me, my thinking and my development. So I believe it's just not by chance. It's meant to be, and I would say, Jim, that it's up to us to recognize it. These soul connections won't force themselves on us. They'll help us out a little bit. Maybe there's an awakening, and if we don't see it, then it won't happen. It just won't happen.
So you can't force it, right? You can't force it or script it or have expectations with it. You have to just let it happen. If it happens at all, right?
Yes, yes. Some people will say, oh, wow, there's sparks and they're flying, especially in a romantic relationship. That may be the case, but on the other hand, you have to discern, is there more to it just than having sparks fly in this high level of energy and emotion? Yeah, that happens. But in the end, you have to kind of come down to earth a little bit and understand what the relationship is meant to do for both involved. So That's how I see it. I would say that I've had many soul connections. I have been sad that I've lost touch with some of these connections. However, on the other hand, I was meant to lose touch with them. They came to me for a reason, to show me something, and their purpose was fulfilled, and they left.
That's beautiful, absolutely. Now, for the audience listening, they're probably saying, okay, so where was Loretta, and where was Zura, and where did this meeting or reacquaintance happen? Can you share with us a little bit of the when and where that initial contact came about?
Yeah, the initial contact came about as a result of my dad's illness. He was failing. His health was failing quickly, and Dad wanted to pass away in his own home, and we honored that. It quickly became apparent to us, my sister and my brother, that we couldn't do it by ourselves, although we had hospice. I would leave Virginia, Northern Virginia, to drive up to the Philadelphia area every week to do the week support, and my sister and brother would be there on weekends, and I would come home. Well, it got to a point where we knew we had to bring some assistance in. So we were given a name of agencies, and we contacted agencies. But I settled on an agency, a very small agency, and it was run by a woman from Poland. And the counselor, the hospice counselor, said, she says, look, we only know these ladies because they're the Polish ladies. And I laugh because my mother's Polish. So we placed a call to them, and I said, I know I'm going to get somebody good because I know how Polish people, how human they are and how kind they are. So he wasn't our first choice. He was the second person that I talked with. The first person didn't work out because of her own personal situation. And then Zora showed up on the appointed time. Came to my dad's house, and I was shocked. I watched him get out of the car, pointed to the house, and I had a cold chill run through me. I said, oh my goodness, I don't know where I know this guy from, but I know him from somewhere. I just can't place him. Well, we went in and had the conversation. I interviewed him, and he showed me his driver's license, and of course he had an accent, and I knew it wasn't from Virginia. Well, I thought, wow, when did I meet him? And so I just couldn't place him, but I knew there was a connection. And I looked into his eyes, and I saw compassion and kindness. And I said, Zora, can you start helping me soon? He said, oh, Miss Loretta, that's the way the Georgians address people. Mm-hmm. He said, Miss Loretta, he said, I can start right away. I said, oh, that's wonderful, just great. So he lived with us for several weeks and was there with me when Dad passed away. So the bond was from the beginning to this day, and that's how I met him, just through an interview process and made the connection. And I knew I wasn't going right. to see the last of him when Dad passed away.
Right, right. See, in your book, which I have right here in front of me and have already read and reread, you have an incredible poem right in the beginning called Our Bond that you wrote. We looked at his lifeless face. There was no need to embrace. We stood there silently, letting our emotions sit quietly. We formed an unspoken bond. No need to speak and respond. Why now? Why here? Why him? This union wasn't formed on a whim. We witnessed a spirit leaving. I felt his imaginary touch, believing that it would feel his comfort forever. Never would this bond be severed. That's beautiful. And that links all of this together for you, doesn't it, Loretta?
Oh, very much so. I wrote the poem after the book was almost complete. And I said, there's just something more that has to be said about why this occurred. So I sat down and played with the poem that you just so beautifully recited. And I liked it, and I said, I'm going to include that in my story, because I wanted people to understand that no words were spoken throughout this period of time, Jim. Zora and I didn't talk about this. We were too busy taking care of my dad and trying to get a little bit of sleep when we could, but we knew that there was a strong connection. And standing side by side with me when Dad passed away, I mean, it's indescribable. And when that happened, I knew that I did not want to lose Zora's spirit. I felt that this happened because of Dad's illness, because he slipped away when we were both there, that it was meant to be that Zora would find his way to us in the months ahead, stay in touch with us. And quite honestly, Jim, I was the one that didn't want to let him go. And then, after a fashion, he realized when he said to me, "I feel safe with you." I knew that when I met you and after I got to know you and your family, that I was no longer alone in this country. I knew I had somebody.
That is amazing. When you really think about it, the comfort and confidence that was derived from all of that, what would you say? I know this is hard to sum up because we only have about 3 minutes left, but what, and we can elaborate because you'll be back with us next week. Are there a few things you've learned from Zora and Zora has learned from you that you can share with us?
Oh, wow. Yes. I guess what I learned most importantly from Zora is, because he's a poem and he's a bit of a romantic, the idea of loving and accepting and finding love in the small things that we do in our life, finding joy in those things, and looking at the sun, for example, or just feeling the sun's rays, understanding that the love is around us in everything we do if we choose to see it and embrace it. And so he asked me that question one time, and he says, "What have I brought to you?" And I said, "You have awakened my soul, Zora, to the concept of universal love, unconditional love." And I didn't have that being a career-driven person. Everything is analyzed and looked at from an antiseptic, through an antiseptic lens. But he reawakened that in my being, and it's, wow, it takes your breath away when you realize that you've had this gift and you've not paid attention to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. But now you have, and it's made a world of difference for you both. I want to let folks know that the book we're referring to is Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey. And it's available at Amazon. And if you'd like to learn more also about our very special guest, Loretta Harrington, please go to her website. It's incredible. It's lorettaharrington.com. M-E. Again, LorettaHarrington.me. Loretta, this is always a real pleasure to have you with us and a real honor as always. And thank you so much for opening up and continuing to share this incredible story and this journey for you and for Zora, as well as the book. And we will be chatting with you next week. A million more good questions coming your way. But thanks for taking the time to join us here on the show today. It's always wonderful we're together, Loretta.
Thank you so much.
Take care and enjoy your day. Our very special guest, Loretta Harrington. Thank you for joining us as well, everybody. I'm Jim Masters, CU TV News. For the entire CU TV News team, we thank you for joining us as well. Have a terrific day.
You've been listening to CU TV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.